For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
I trust that you've been having a good week so far and getting ready for Christmas. I know it's going to be here in no time. This is the second Sunday in Advent already. It's hard to believe how fast the year travels. 2019 is just a few weeks away. The holidays, as I mentioned last week, it can be a very stressful time. It can be stressful sometime that some people are even tempted to wish the holiday through, wish it through, so we can get back to normal life. And I think when we begin to think that way, it's a very sad time because we miss out, we forget about the fact that Christmas changed everything. I don't know if you think about this, but every time you sign, you date something, we acknowledge the fact that Christmas, that Christ entered into this world and he gave a fresh start. He gave a new beginning. And so, as I mentioned, it's 2018 and it is 2018 years, roughly, since Christ came into this world. Interestingly enough, I learned this past week that that tradition actually began in 500 AD, around 500 AD. There was a monk by the name of Dionysius who, he was actually disturbed that the way we were the way the Western world was currently counting, dating history was based upon the Roman Emperor Diocletian, who was a persecutor of the church, persecutor of Christians. And he was disturbed that we would date history by that person rather than by Christ, who is the Savior of the world, who changed history forever. And so he's the one that came up with this system. Obviously, it took a few years before it became worldwide, but it is recognized around the world today that we date things by when Christ came into this world. And so, whether unbelievers recognize this or not, they testify to the fact that Christ changes everything every time they put down the date. And so we celebrate. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because at Christmas time, God came near us. We sang this morning, O come, Emmanuel. And we sing that hymn, and we celebrate the fact that God came near. That Christ, who is fully God and fully man, that he came to be with us. We were the ones that had gone astray, but God demonstrated his love for us and that he sent Christ. And so when we sing that song, we should immediately think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. And so I want us to look at this passage here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, because it's one of those passages that I think that is massively filled with hope and good news. And God gave it to his people so that they might have hope, knowing what the coming reign of Christ in their lives would be like. And interestingly enough, too, this prophecy was given to God's people in a time when they were under massive stress. The southern kingdom, which is who this promise was given to, was under threat by two neighboring countries, the northern kingdom and Syria. And they were threatening to invade them because they wanted to form an alliance to resist and fight against Assyria, who was the greatest threat because it was the Assyria was the world emperor. It would be like, you know, Ukraine compared to Russia. You know, if you live in Ukraine, you're probably not too worried about Bulgaria, but you are definitely concerned about Russia. And so the southern kingdom was under threat from invasion of these three nations. And so God gave this promise to them, not just to be a, shall we say, a stress reliever, but to be a stress killer. And when we are feeling overwhelmed, our Emmanuel, we need to remember that our Emmanuel has come, and he breaks into our lives and reigns. He brings comfort into our lives. Now, before we look at these four names that God promises that describes our Emmanuel, again, I just want us to look at verse 6 and notice, it's so easy for us to read these things and not to think about it. But as the King James Version says, which we probably have all memorized it that way, or most of us anyway, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And so I just want us to remember that God gave this promise to his people. It is unto us that this child is to be born. And, at Halloween time, people knock on our door and people pass out candy. But at Christmas, you give gifts to people you care and love. And God cares and loves his people. And so that's what he gave this gift to us. And so that's how we know that God loves us, because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the fact that he talks about a son here just talks about the importance, the magnificence of this gift. I heard someone say that Jesus, as God, came first as a baby because everyone knows how adoring a baby is. And nobody can reject a baby because they are adoring their love. I mean, you love to hold a baby. And so God gave our Emmanuel to us to come as a baby, so that when he actually grew up, he could really demonstrate the greatness of that love. And there's one other thing that I also want to point out before we get into the names of this, and that is to recognize that this promise is given in past tense. It's not a son will be given, but it is a son has been given. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And God speaks in the past tense here because he wants us to know that there is nothing that's going to stop him fulfilling his word in our lives. And so I think that's very important that we keep that in mind as we look at at these four things. You'll see there that my outline, if you want to put it up there. You'll see that he's coming and he's got broad shoulders, broad, strong shoulders. That's going to enable him to rule. And there you see the four different names. So first of all, then, his strong shoulders enable him to rule as a wonderful counselor. Now, I don't know if any of you have the King James Version or the New King James Version or the Authorized Standard Version. But if you do have that, or if you remember reading that, you will remember that there is a comma after the word wonderful. And there's a comma after the word wonderful, meaning that Isaiah is actually talking about five descriptive names that are going to be describing this child that is to be born for us. All other modern translations that I'm aware of, and I checked a number of them, they don't put a comma after the word wonderful. Now, there is no question that Jesus is wonderful. There is no question about that, that Jesus is wonderful. But the question is Isaiah wanting us to understand that not only is Jesus wonderful, but his counsel that he gives to us is wonderful. Obviously, it's wonderful because it flows from him. Well, I want to give you four reasons why I believe the modern translations are correct in placing the comma after the word counselor rather than after the word wonderful. And the first one is, if you go to actually Isaiah 28:29, you'll see there that Isaiah includes this word wonderful and the word counsel together. Isaiah 28:29 says, "This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom." Now, both references use the same root word here, but in the second one here in Isaiah 28:29, it is very clear that Isaiah is describing the counsel that God gives, and it is wonderful. So I think for that reason, I think we're looking at that. A second reason here is if you look at the other descriptions that Isaiah gives here, you'll notice that each one of them has two words: Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so there is a parallelism, that is a deliberate parallelism that is going on here, and Hebrew is very known for that. So I think that's a second reason. Thirdly, as I was looking at this, one of the Hebrew language commentators that I looked at mentioned the fact that that Isaiah might very well be doing a play on words here. And he talked about the fact that if you take the very first Hebrew word of the first name, which is wonderful, and you take the very first word of the last name, or of the last one name that he gives here, Prince, so take the Hebrew word wonderful, and you have the Hebrew name Prince, you come up with a name that was very similar to the Assyrian king that Ahaz is deathly afraid of. The Assyrian king that Ahaz was deathly afraid of was Tilgath-Pileser. I might be pronouncing that wrongly, I'm not sure. But Isaiah is wanting Ahaz to know, you know what? Yeah, there's this king. You know what? What's his name? You're afraid of him? God has a son, and he's far more wonderful and far more powerful than that Assyrian king. is. And last, the last reason, which I think is actually the most important and the strongest, is this word wonderful means something that is truly extraordinary, something that causes you to marvel. And I think it's very interesting that as you go through the Gospels, that 19 different times the Gospel writers talk about the fact that the people, the crowds, or the disciples, or Jesus' opponents, they marveled at the things that Jesus said. They marveled at the things that Jesus did. They marveled at his answers. They marveled at his counsel. And God wanted King Ahaz and the people of God, who are under great stress and feeling very overwhelmed because of what was going on in their life, God wanted them to know that he was going to be giving them a child, a son, whose words and teaching were so great that they would marvel at that. And so I think, brothers and sisters, when we become stressed in life, whether it's a stress of Christmas, whatever that stress might be, we can go to God's Word and we can receive counsel. We can read the Gospels and we can hear Jesus, and we can once again marvel at his Word and recognize that meditating on that is what will conquer and help us with our stress. Well, second, his strong shoulders enable him to rule as a warrior God. Now, again, let's remember, put ourselves back in Ahaz and the people of God's day. They were stressed. They were fearing attack from these three countries, and really the one that they were fearing the most attack from was the Assyrian Empire. And what more assurance could God give to his people than to say that a son, that he will be giving them a son who will fight like a warrior God on their behalf? As I was trying to think about this, it would be like, you know, if you were living in the Ukraine, and living in the Ukraine, you're under this constant threat that Russia is going to invade. And what better news could you have if you were from the Ukraine, is to be given the assurance that you had somebody fighting on your behalf. And I use this word warrior because this word mighty is as it's often used in the Old Testament, is used in the context of war. And so God wants his people to know that they don't need to fear. He is on their side. He is the one who is going to be fighting on their behalf. And interestingly enough, in a few years' time, these two neighboring countries who were trying to invade the southern kingdom to form this alliance to fight against Assyria, they were actually invaded by Assyria, taken off into captivity. And then a few years after that, when the Assyrian king thought he big and tough and strong enough that he was going to be able to come in and conquer Israel, or the southern kingdom, he actually invades Judah, and God sent a destroying angel and destroyed his entire army. And you can read about that in 2 Kings 19 or 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And it's very interesting that after that, and we know this from Assyrian records, that the Assyrian king, he came back to Assyria, came back in shame, doesn't mention the fact that God's destroying angel killed his army, but he came back to Assyria in shame, and his own sons assassinated him, and Assyria is no longer a domineering power in that region. They very quickly die off. Now, of course, we know that one of the reasons why the nation of Israel rejected Jesus as Messiah is because they were expecting Jesus to be this warrior king who would come and he'd throw out the Romans and he'd throw out everybody else who, you know, kind of this fighting with this sword. And they expected him to do all this. But Jesus actually came to conquer a far greater enemy. And that enemy, of course, was sin. He came to conquer sin that rules, that can dominate our hearts and cause us to resist God's ways. And Jesus is still conquering today. And the weapon that Jesus uses to conquer is the gospel. The good news, and that's what conquers our fears. And that's what conquers our worries and the sin that can cause us to resist God's rule in our life. And we shouldn't necessarily fault the people of Israel for wanting a political king to drive away their enemies, because we're often no different. We want our circumstances that are causing us angst in our life to be removed. But that's not the way God chooses to conquer. He chooses to use the gospel to help us conquer through our trials and in the midst of our trials. And sometimes it's very easy for us as we look at the mess in the world and we see the downward decline, we can easily want to isolate ourselves and protect ourselves from the world instead of recognizing that the gospel is what conquers that darkness in people's hearts. And as we share the good news, God does his work of conquering. Now, of course, we long for Jesus to return, and we know that his promise is sure. One day he will return, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ. But in the meantime, Paul reminds us in Romans 8:37 that even if we are being beaten down, we are still more than conquerors, because the gospel is changing hearts and lives, including our own. Well, number three, his strong shoulders enable him to rule as the everlasting Father. Now, when we come to this title for Jesus, we immediately wonder, what's going on here? How can Jesus, the Son of God, be described as the everlasting Father? How do those two go together? I think we've got to remember that Isaiah has said to us, a son will be given. So Isaiah is not referring to this relationship to the other members of the Trinity. Jesus is the Son of God. He has been the eternal Son of God. But rather, he is referring to the Son's relationship to time. That this Son who will be given is eternal. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, calls this Son, this Messiah, the Ancient of Days. Jesus' rule will last eternally, and that is good news. Well, fourthly, his strong shoulders enable him to rule as the Prince of Peace. This is the last name that Isaiah uses to describe this Emmanuel that God has given to us, and says that his rule will be he will rule as a prince of peace. And by that, the fact that he is ruling, it means that he has the power to bring about peace in the lives of the people that he is reigning. I have no idea who made up that little bumper sticker. I'm sure you've seen it. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus, N-O, know peace. And it's a very simple but very true message. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know peace. Know Jesus, N-O, know peace. I think, you know, if there's one thing that we have learned, or we should have learned, is that man does not coexist peacefully. We don't. And that the idea that Muslims, Hindus, and all of these people can just come together and coexist peacefully, it just doesn't happen. Sin prevents that from happening. And we need a Prince of Peace who will first of all conquer sin and then can bring about peace. And Christ is our Emmanuel. And he can do that. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that when you become a believer, all your problems go away. I know the prosperity gospel preachers say that first of all, you have to give them money. But if you give them money, then your life will be filled with perfect peace. That doesn't happen. Every one of us, including myself, we struggle with difficulties. It might be health related, it might be job related, it might be family related, it might be marriage related, it might be relationally related. We all struggle with something. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3:15, he tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let the peace of Christ, because Christ is the Prince of Peace, the ruler, everything has been put under his feet. Paul tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. How do we allow that peace that comes the peace of Christ, that one of the fruit of the Spirit, to rule in our hearts when our hearts are in torment? We do it by reminding ourselves of the good news of the gospel, that our sin has been defeated by Christ, that we now stand righteous in God's sight, that we have a warrior God who's mighty fighting on our behalf. We have his counsel, his wonderful counsel that will speak words of peace into our lives. And so we can allow his peace to reign in our lives, even in the midst of difficulties. And so we do that. Christ came to rule, and Isaiah wants us to know that he came to rule, and he has wonderful counsel to give us. He is a warrior God who will rule everlasting, and he alone can give peace. And yes, we definitely deal with stress, and Christmas can be a very painful holiday for people. But the answer is to remember that Christ is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. And we need to resist our culture's push that just says, happy holidays. You can't have a happy holiday without Christ, without Christ ruling, without his counsel, without him fighting on our behalf, and without his peace reigning in our lives. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the fact that his death conquered sin in our life. And now he can shine through us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the good news. Thank you that you sent a son to be with us. Thank you that that he is, by his words, gives us the counsel that we need in the midst of our troubles. He is fighting on our behalf. His reign will be everlasting, and he comes to bring peace so it can shine in our hearts. And so I just thank you for that. Father, I pray that if there is anybody here that is in the midst of the turmoil that might be going on in their heart, that they would remember this promise that you gave to your people in the midst of a very stressful time, that this child has come, and that child is Jesus. And now he desires to reign in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.